For years, politicians, the trucking industry, and many others have been saying the nation's infrastructure, and more specifically highways and bridges, need big improvements. Numerous studies have pointed to the reasons why. Increasing traffic congestion, concerns about roadway safety, damage to vehicles, as well as lower productivity for trucking and other businesses. Now it appears the debate over more roadway funding may finally be coming to a head. But according to one former truck driver, now a trucking fleet president and highway funding advocate, if action isn't taken this year, it may very well be the last chance to greatly improve roadways for many years to come. Welcome to another edition of Eyes on the Road presented by PrePass, the provider of waystation bypass and toll payment services. PrePass also provides informed visualization software for improving safety scores and lowering toll-related costs. I'm Evan Lockridge, and thanks for joining me. In these highly politically partisan times in which we live, there may be one issue in which people from the left and the right, as well as everyone in between, can agree. And that is America's highways need lots of work. Now, the issue certainly isn't a new one. Substantially increasing federal highway funding has been talked about for many years, but little action has been taken by Congress. What's different this time around is that so many different groups and factions, which rarely agree on anything, including those inside and outside of trucking, are all pushing for a major increase in infrastructure funding. So why is this happening? How much will it cost? And after years of talk about increasing highway funding, does it truly have a chance of becoming a reality in 2019? Joining me to talk about this is Jim Berg, president of James Berg Trucking, a regional flatbed carrier based in Michigan. Jim got his start in trucking back in 1984 as a single truck operator. 4 years later, he started his fleet, which today has a little less than 100 trucks serving the Midwest. In addition, he is co-chair of the American Trucking Association's Infrastructure Funding Task Force and is a passionate advocate for highway funding. He joins me on the line from his office in Michigan. Jim, it's good to talk with you.
Well, thanks for having me on today, Evan.
Well, Jim, you talk a lot about the need for increasing highway funding. That's why I've invited you on this podcast. But why is this funding needed so badly, not just for trucking, but for the average American?
Well, Evan, the Texas A&M University has ongoing congestion cost studies that they do annually, and that number is up to about $320 billion per year for all users of roadways. And that's the cost of congestion, the cost of excess time and gas that we're using and diesel sitting in roads at slower speeds that we would do if there was less congestion, and the cost of damages to our vehicles and injuries sustained because of poorly maintained roads and congestion backups.
So in other words, there are really a number of factors that go into these increased road costs. It's not just trucking, right?
Oh, for sure. The trucking industry supplies 4% of the vehicles on the road. So if you take any denominator of time and wasted efforts on the road by motorists, they bear 96% of the lost time of highway travel.
Now, one of the things you have been saying is that 2019 is the last best chance there is going to be for quite a while for Congress to pass a major infrastructure funding package. One, why do you believe this? And two, do you believe if we don't increase highway funding, it will result in more toll roads and bridges?
Yeah, that seems to be the direction that a lot of states are doing, and mostly because of inaction in Washington. So right now you've got, if you listen to, talk shows, you have Democrats that are in favor of funding. You have Republicans that are coming off the public-private partnership mentality a little bit more to using revenues from fuel taxes. And you have the president that was elected on one of three things, and that was rebuilding infrastructure. So this is a great year. If we don't get it done this year, then next year is an election year, and anything that is done or said now is going to be used in the battlegrounds for elections next year.
Now, based on what I'm hearing from you, Jim, there is certainly greater unity between different groups and political parties, for lack of a better word, when it comes to increasing highway funding. Why do you believe this unity is suddenly happening?
Well, largely it's because the citizens are finally beginning to revolt. people are starting to see what the true cost of their vehicles, being beat up on roads, the time that they're missing, you know, from being home with their families or staying at work and getting a little bit more productivity done. You know, it's finally got to the point where people are just fed up with it. And in my state, in Michigan, our governor was elected on her campaign slogan of "Fix the Damn Roads."
That's Gretchen Whitmer.
And largely because the Republican Triple Crown before that didn't do enough to fund and fix the roads and bridges in Michigan.
So, Jim, the bulk of the money that's used to build roadways comes from the federal government in the form of fuel taxes it collects. How much additional funding do you believe is needed compared to current highway funding levels?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. I mean, you know, there are some people that feel you could not put enough money at the problem. I would think, and this is just a rough guess off the top of my head, that you're looking at closer to $100 billion a year over 10 years nationally to be able to get us back to a good to, you know, kind of like a B to B plus average of our roads and bridges. So that's a lot of money. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways that that you could get there. Vehicle miles traveled is an idea that's being floated. Oregon is doing testing like that. But I don't think that's ready for prime time. That's probably going to be 10 years before we have the technology that will allow to track vehicles per mile and to make sure that people aren't cheating. You know, right now, when you put a nozzle in your fuel tank or your gas tank, really hard to evade that tax. But when you're starting to write down numbers of how many miles traveled, you know, it's a whole lot easier to decide, well, I guess I only drove in a truck 80,000 miles, not 110,000 miles, when there's a number associated with that. And then the cost of collection on the government side, you'd almost need another bureaucracy about the size of the IRS just to manage vehicle miles traveled. So that's why it's not ready, in my opinion, yet. Toll roads can do so, but then you have added cost of roads. We all know that by driving on toll roads and toll bridges that it's far more expensive. You know, gantries cost money to build the roads and to sell them to Wall Street, because that's basically who's owning and funding them. They have to get a cut of the action. They're going to make sure that their profit margin is there. And what do? They charge the most they can, and they sell. They pay their suppliers the least. So, you know, that's a challenge of maintaining road quality. Additionally, there's only 4%, maybe 5% of the nation's roads that actually would qualify for the investment of tolling. So there's a lot of challenges with tolls that we haven't quite worked out. And I don't think it's ready for prime time on any grand level more than we have for current tolling.
Well, let me ask you this. Does increasing highway funding automatically mean Americans then are going to have to open up their wallets a bit more to pay for all this, say in the form of higher fuel taxes? Or is there a better way to fund roadways?
Well, you know, there's a lot of discussions. You know, being chair of the Highway Policy Committee, we've been talking about this for a while. And then a couple of years back, ATA, American Trucking Associations, started the Highway Funding Task Force, which I co-chair. So we've looked at discussions, or, you know, had discussions of maybe even a federal sales tax, because not everybody that has a car even doesn't. They all participate with the roads because we're all consumers. We all get things delivered to us in some form. So we're all using the road. So, you know, maybe someone could think that is a different way, an outside of the box thinking. But now you've got a totally new and separate tax that has never been, initiated in the federal government. And you can just imagine the naysayers would say about that. These are just all things that we've talked about. We've always come back to what we have now, which is the most efficient way of collecting user fees, and that's through gas tax.
Now, the federal fuel tax has not increased in more than 20 years. And because of this, a good number of states in recent years have increased their fuel taxes, and others are considering it. What do you say to critics who say higher state fuel taxes alone are enough to repair and expand roadways, and a federal tax hike isn't needed, as well as to groups that are against any fuel tax hikes on either the state or federal levels?
Evan, you brought up a great point of 20 years since we've touched this issue. Had the Congress indexed fuel taxes, and I hate to use that word taxes, user fees, to include inflationary prices on the cost of building roads and the increased fuel economy that we're all benefiting from, both in cars and trucks, we wouldn't have the problems as severe as we have right now. We'd been able to maintain. We wouldn't have to play this massive catch-up that we need to. Now, as far as, you know, this being a new tax, an increased tax, well, most of it actually backfills, you know, the tax that wasn't collected for the last 20 years that we've benefited for that time. A lot of your listeners, myself included, if we could go out today and fix the roads, because that's what we do in our own lives, we invest, we would do that. We need the federal government to do that. We need state governments to do that. Now, the reason the federal government is needed is that we all benefit from an interstate network. Let's just say that a customer of mine is selling goods from Michigan to Nebraska, yet I send my trucks through Chicago, one of the major pinch points in congestion. So I would benefit, as would my customer, from being more efficient going through Chicago. Same thing, if there's processors or shippers in Nebraska that's selling things back to Michigan, those trucks also have to come through Chicago. So that's why it's important to have an interstate network and not just a state-funded network of roads and bridges that may not be consistent with an overall transportation plan.
Now, I mentioned at the top of the podcast that you are passionate when it comes to increasing highway funding and that you co-chair the ATA Infrastructure Funding Task Force. Why are you so involved when it comes to highway funding, Jim? Surely you found better ways to relax and spend time when you're out of the office. Plus, what is the ATA plan advocating?
Well, you know, this is kind of one of my hobbies. You know, there's a lot of things I like to do. You know, I like trucking. I also found that if you're not involved in politics, you're doomed to be controlled by those who do. And the last thing that I would want is to sit back and just wait for whatever somebody else is going to design for me to have to pay the price because of that. So that is, you know, the two reasons there. One, I feel it's an obligation to do it, and two, I really enjoy it. The ATA's plan is the Build America Fund, and that would include a 20-cent per gallon increase over 4 years. 5 cents a gallon over 4 years. And that would be collected at the rack. So not necessarily the pump, but further back in the supply chain. So the rack is the point where either the refinery transfers the fuel to the tanker for delivery, or a pipeline that transfers that. And if you look at the owners of those there's 3,000 racks in the United States, but those are owned by 300 entities. So when you look at how many taxpayers or collection points are affected, you're looking at 300 individuals or individual entities, as opposed to every motorist that's traveling on the road. It's very efficient. The system's already in place, and it's an immediate collection. If you cited tomorrow, it's going to be 5 cents. That money is collected immediately and would be able to be diverted directly into the or collected directly into the highway trust fund.
One of the points I understand you've made in speaking about increasing highway funding, including to congressional committees, is that you say that more highway funding and consequently better highways are linked not just to better truck safety, but to increased highway safety overall. Can you talk a little bit about this, Jim?
Well, let's go back to that $300 billion number that I gave to you early on in the show. Is about $80 billion of that a year is due to injuries. You know, $100 billion is to damages to vehicles. So it's not just trucks that are benefiting, you know, from not being in congested areas, but all motorists that would benefit from that. And let's look at congestion in a couple of forms. Let's say you have a pinch point of a interchange. So right now you're doing 65, 70 miles an hour. You get to an interchange. You have to slow down to 45 to navigate the turn. And then you get back on the next highway and you're doing 65, 70 again. You could increase that cloverleaf or that exit to having two lanes. That way the traffic would then be double stacked for a bit to go over and then merge back on, so you wouldn't have the backup congestion to that interchange. Backup crashes or secondary crashes are getting so frequent that crash reports now track those crashes so that the state governments can collect that information and pass it on to the feds to identify, you know, where the true causes are linked to congestion. It's an area of concern that we've all known and seen. We just need to put numbers behind it so we can grasp the actual amount of how frequent it's happening.
That is Jim Berg, president of James Berg Trucking and a former truck driver. He's also co-chair of the ATA Infrastructure Funding Task Force. Jim, thanks very much for being on the podcast.
My pleasure, Evan. Thanks for having me on today.
And you can read more about one of the items Jim talked about in our interview, and that has to do with tolling. Just go to the PrePass website and then to the Resource Library and download the free white paper entitled The Future of Tolling in America. Whether or not you want to see more toll roads and bridges, I think you'll find this an interesting read. Also, while you're on the PrePass website, stop and check out the blog. That's where you'll find trucking industry news and insights. That's also where you can either subscribe to this podcast or listen to previous installments, as well as through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Blueberry, Player FM, Stitcher, TuneIn, Listen Notes, and more. You can also keep up with PrePass online through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Finally, if you got a question, comment, or topic suggestion for the podcast, we'd like to hear from you. Email us at podcast@prepass.com. This has been Eyes on the Road, presented by PrePass, the provider of waystation bypass and toll payment services. PrePass also provides informed visualization software for improving safety scores and lowering toll-related costs. I'm Evan Lockridge. Thank you for listening, and be sure to keep your eyes on the road.